right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies Chuck and John. Gentlemen, we have been rewarded with these playoffs. We stuck with them, and now we have been blessed with some of the best basketball I think I've ever seen. Scintillating, exciting drama. At this point, I feel bad for those people who don't follow sports. I feel like they missed out on, like, it's like there's an extra season of Deadwood no one knew about, or new Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes.
I disagree with what you're doing right now.
What is this?
There are people who don't listen to basketball who only listen for our egg talk up front.
Right.
And you are pooping all over them.
So I'm talking right now specifically to those few people who do listen to our opening before we get into basketball. You missed out. Like, you missed out on a red wedding.
No one likes a proselytizer.
That game six, that game seven.
Or a proselytizer.
Or a prostitute.
I don't know how many syllables are in that word, but that's what I'm doing right now. Telling you about it. It was some of the best stuff we've ever seen.
It was incredible basketball. I mean, we were at a Memorial Day party watching game seven. John, nervously...
Yeah.
With eyes on certain lines in the game.
Yeah.
The baseline.
It was very intense. It was an intense performance. That 8.5-point spread I got was just right.
It was just
It was people running around. People without necessarily, you know, any allegiances to either side, just being thrown away with some of the best shooting we've ever seen. The drama of the record setting regular season on the line. It was great drama.
Bizarre contrast between the two teams and how they were scoring.
Right.
Like, truly yin and yang. Rock, paper, scissors madness.
It truly was the Warriors were kept throwing paper and the Thunder just kept throwing rocks the fourth quarter, and it never worked. All right, before we get deeper into that, let us, however, start with our breakfasts. Did you guys have a chance to breakfast this morning?
You're looking at it, Kemosabe.
John, I'm concerned about your diet. John has just raised yet another can of Coors Light.
Guess what?
Don't worry, it's not a problem.
My mama ain't home.
Yeah?
So I got up at like 1:15.
Oh.
These old ladies out of town.
Had a party last night.
Nobody called me.
Well, that's what made it a party. And not a sad bench.
Edit that.
I am going to tweet out that video that John sent of Chuck at a party.
Chuck working. That's Chuck.
That was
working.
Chuck working.
I was getting paid $50 to.
Remember how I was talking about how Chuck maybe shouldn't do all the drugs and alcohol when he's hosting?
No.
Well, guess who didn't even introduce my band because he was passed
yeah,
out.
Yeah, so Chuck was
no, because they went up by themselves. Guys, this is all
we're gonna sit out.
We're gonna sit
out a video
rock hard
of Chuck asleep in a chair. But anyway, so John, you were having liquid breakfast.
Indeed.
Chuck, did you have breakfast? Please tell me it was not cookies and cream, muscle milk, liquid
it
breakfast.
It wasn't. No.
Thank you, Chuck.
I had a yogurt bowl with granola, some fresh fruit, mango, strawberry, honey. It was nice. It was some Greek yogurt.
Was this at home?
Were you stuck in affluent West Nashville or something?
No. I ate it at a local establishment called Little Moscow's. That's in a building here in Nashville, Tennessee.
You should have gotten that famous sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
The Moscow's famous sandwich.
I don't know which
one. Does it have yogurt on it as well?
I've yet to have the famous sandwich. I've only had their yogurt and their... they have tuna that's pretty good, too.
Hmm.
For lunch. So, yeah, that was a good little healthy breakfast.
Don't bring your lunch in here.
I'm trying to... John is right. I went a little hard this weekend with the drinking and stuff, so I'm trying to, like, clean it up.
I feel like everyone's kind of... It's that Tuesday after Memorial Day. Everyone's been a little slow.
Ooh,
I feel like the internet was slow yesterday.
Did we eat on Memorial Day, though, John?
Oh, yes.
Man, we had some friends of ours work at 210 Jack, a local Nashville establishment. And they basically catered it, like cooked and grilled out all day and made some of the best food I've ever had on a Memorial Day. So
before that, I had some kangaroo.
Oof. Yeah, you are with them.
I went to two parties.
I was thinking of you guys on Memorial Day because of some things that
Of Chuck's service?
Actually had. No, I was thinking of Chuck because on Memorial Day, I ended up having some Sonic and some Taco Bell.
Badass.
I would like to give my reviews.
Okay.
I had a Taco Bell taco while watching the Game 7.
That's incredible.
It was totally good.
It's a good taco.
It was totally good.
I always get just a taco.
Yeah, it was so that was pretty good. However, the Sonic trip was earlier in the day. It was almost like an ironic Sonic trip. Let's go to Sonic and I think it's happy hour.
You must have been with some
I was with my family.
Oh, okay.
The wife and kid.
We were driving around the sun,
chuckling.
You know, we were like, let's go to Sonic. Oh, let's get it. Oh, it's probably half off drinks. Let's get some treats. We actually were excited about it. We thought it was kind of funny. Sonic on Memorial Day packed.
They might have had some kind of thing going
packed
on.
Like the Oracle. Yeah. I mean, anyway. however, I got a fruit slush. Grotesque.
Yeah.
One of the most grotesque excuses for a dessert I've ever had in my life.
You gotta get that cherry limeade, man.
I mean, classic. Yeah. You know, but I felt like I would swing bigger. They had this entire display of like 100 different flavors and all these things.
You haven't been to Sonic until you've been with Chuck, because he's like such a machine when he orders.
Knows how to do it.
Yeah.
I felt
feel small tight, and boy. Weak.
I felt bad, but again, as a sugar addict, as a man who I consider myself a candy connoisseur, mm-hmm. It was gross. Yeah. It's like a melted snow cone. No, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You have an excellent taste in candy. You turned me on to, I think it's Gummy Sweet Tarts.
Oh, yeah.
Flawless candy.
Sweet Tart Jelly Beans, I think. My thing is the seasonal Easter item, Sweet Tart Jelly Beans, which I bought, I think, like 26 bags the day after Easter. I cleaned out a couple of different grocery stores.
I'm a jelly bean fan, but that's like some next level shiznit.
It really was good. But anyway, my breakfast was a new American classic. Cheerios and leftover dry rub spare ribs.
There you go.
Wow.
It was really good. Just eat them cold, kind of like a jerky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a bit of, you know, a bit of starch with the Cheerios, freaking me out. Make it very breakfast.
No, I can see that working. You're talking about like a nice fruity. Are we talking what kind of Cheerios? Honey
no,
nut?
Just plain. No, just plain.
You know how some people.
I didn't put them on, but I like how you're thinking. I think Honey Nut Cheerios could actually be part of maybe an interesting
flavor combination.
Like combination with pairing. The rib. But good pairing.
Speaking of pairings, I believe, Chuck, you discovered something at the Burger King.
Yes, this week there was a pairing list for all of the menu items at the soda
fountain. Yeah, so you send this photo. Burger King is now, and that's hilarious. That's well played, Burger King.
Very much ironically placing these things to make, I guess to be.
I don't think
silly.
It was ironic.
I think it's absolutely to be funny.
Really? Yeah.
But it's really funny. It's like, oh, did you order the salad? Then you probably are drinking these gross diet drinks.
Here, have this.
I guess they were behind the Nightmare King.
They were the Nightmare King. I mean, the Nightmare King walking out behind Floyd Mayweather, was it?
Terrifying.
Yeah. That was one of the funny things I've ever seen.
But yeah, some of those pairing options with a Coke, you get a Whopper, a double Whopper, or a triple Whopper.
Right.
It's real full-bodied taste.
Recommended for.
Refreshing, bubbly finish. It's full of wonderful things, and it's a thing to see.
Well played. We covered a lot of food establishments. Woo. in that little opening.
This is what you're coming here for, guys.
Salvo. But you might also be coming here for some talk of basketball. So after our breakfast, we get to our breakfast in bed apologies, and this is our opportunity to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to atone for?
Well,
Chuck.
Chuck.
If you guys heard last week's episode, I was pretty vocal in, the glory that was the Toronto Raptors for two games up north in the six with Drake cheering them on, getting in LeBron's head and Kevin Love's soul and basically destroying them from the inside. But they came back, which we pretty much said immediately after I was berating the Cavs.
Chuck was like, we have to record this podcast before this game five starts so I can get all my gloating out, my negative Cavs talk.
There will always be that podcast. There will always be that moment where I believed that LeBron could be defeated and we couldn't have the chalk finals that we all predicted day one of the regular season.
It really gives you a sense that we have wasted, despite the fact that the drama was good, In August.
Our time.
In August, we were like, yeah, Cavs-Warriors finals.
Yeah, we should just do two podcasts a year. We do our picks at the beginning, and then we meet up for
every
the finals.
Every dime we have.
And then you come back where I nailed it.
But yeah, it's been a fun way to get to the foregone conclusion that we all kind of like.
Power listener Kyle Hoot Travis point out to me that these last two podcasts have been really wonderful because of how horribly wrong we all were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we are following the trends, not anticipating the trends.
Right.
Right.
We are just reporting what has just happened. Like last week, the since we last recorded, the Warriors won three straight games.
Right.
You know, we were just talking about how the Thunder were finally galvanized as a team.
I was talking about the all-time great status of them in the pantheon right. of like, great
where
teams.
Right, where do they end up?
And, yep. Yeah, so that could probably be a thing I apologize
that could
for.
Also, yeah. That, no, yeah. Just Cavs level.
I apologize to planet Earth.
This could go a lot of ways.
Yes, it sure could. I didn't want that series to end, and I'm sorry that it has.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Probably my favorite series ever.
13-game series would have been enough.
And I gave it I gave it real thought and went through some of my all-time favorite series. That beguiling Kings-Lakers series is one of my all-time favorites where the ref stepped in.
Yeah, yeah.
There was Celtics Hawks series from my youth that were very important to me. And I really loved the Bulls Jazz series that went six, but this one going seven. There were like so many elements at play. And we talked about the rock, paper, scissors thing already. But just like, it's different when two teams are hot and are kind of like, you know, matching each other shot for shot. It's way different when it's just two teams doing things in a very different way.
Right.
Yeah.
To where it makes it's like watching two fighters with different styles.
Mm-hmm.
And it really feels like the Thunder were like the southpaws of this entire playoffs, where people just didn't know what to do with them. And I thought it was made for some compelling basketball. I'm also sorry to the Thunder because let's think about it. They played, you know, 13 games against two of the best teams of all time.
Right.
And won like seven of them, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's
pretty good.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing that they are out.
Yeah. It's weird that they did. They you know, as of our last taping, they just run off winning 6 of 7 against the Spurs and Warriors, which right. seems, even in retrospect, it seems impossible.
Right.
Then they did it, but then by the skin of their teeth, the Warriors.
And it sucks too because people will just not remember this. That's the way. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
In 5 years, we will not remember this Thunder team.
Right.
Because they lost.
It's highly possible. Speaking of not remembering, my apology for the week.
Oh, boy.
We forgot to do an international stackhouse of pancakes last week. This could also go into my cream of wheat worst of week. My worst thing was not one listener pointed it out, which that's a very humbling moment. Very.
That's your thing, Keith.
Yeah,
that's for you.
It is for me.
We're not doing it for our audience. What?
Yep. I just thought someone would have brought it up that there was no, you know. I assume Kyrie Irving fans would have been banging down our door, letting us know that we'd missed an all-time performance. But anyway, just to cover where I went wrong from last week, the nominees were going to be Draymond Green. He went 1 for 9. In the game 3.
Give it to Donkey.
Wait, does this
give
mean
it to Donkey.
We're going to have two eye shops this week?
This is last week's. Last week's was Draymond was 1 for 9. Kyrie Irving went 3 for 19 with 13 points in a game 3 loss. And then Steph Curry in that game 4 loss was 6 for 20 with 6 turnovers. I think it's strongly Kyrie Irving. 3 for 19 is spectacular.
It is, but I want to give it to Donkey.
Yeah.
Because he is a braying ass of a human.
So anyway, my apology. No eye shop, but however, Kyrie Irving, we didn't forget. We just made a mistake. No more doing this show by the seat of our pants. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote down notes again after doing this note free for you know, a little bit in a row. All right.
What you need to do is do the show with blinding hangovers so you get this like terrifying clarity.
Yeah, right. If you
when
don't
you finally
know.
Sit down to do something, you're just like,
yeah, yeah. John,
like being
can,
on shrooms.
If we can build a scene here for you, listener, John is now sitting with his rock star shades on. He looks like, I think those are blue blockers.
Oh, yeah. You guys look great right now.
And yeah, he's.
You guys are all green.
He looks pallid.
Uh-huh. I've never been called pallid. That means pale, right?
I mean, paler than usual. You look.
Oh, okay.
You look washed. You look ashen.
A little ashen.
You look anemic. Like you need some iron pills.
I promise I'm not. I ate like 16 burgers last night. So we're all gonna be okay.
I'm just building the scene. Don't you know the yes and improvisation?
Leave
that
John. No, no. John is,
and he's also wearing a Hulkamania shirt, sleeveless.
One thing I've noticed from podcasting with John, he is the least yes and person I've ever been around.
I know.
His thing is, I want to stop this right now.
He goes, no, but
nope.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right.
So I need to go to Second City.
Yeah, you do.
I won't play Sun City, and I won't go to Second City.
Just I think the one opening course is all you need. Mm-hmm. All right, so those were our breakfast in bed.
I've heard of Yes, Dan. Honestly, don't know what it means.
So those were our breakfast in bed. Apologies. Mm-hmm. All right, before we get to our steak and eggs, best things, I want to tell you guys about Fan Essentials. They're a subscription service where you can get NBA gear for any NBA team mailed to your home. They have boxes starting at $14.99. And as you should know, if you enter code FBBF, you get 30% off, and we get a small percentage of that. And also, we are still giving away Fan Essentials boxes. If you write us an iTunes review, has to be 5 stars and
four, I will find you.
You know we got a 4-star review, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we got a 4-star review. They said we can get a little crazy. okay. Yeah, it's fair. He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
You know, we ain't for everybody.
Yep.
But you're never going to survive unless you get a little crazy. Oh, no, you won't survive unless you get a little
All right, so that just got us another 4-star review.
Yeah, and probably we got to play licensing.
Yeah, but anyway, go to fanessentials.net.
We were under 20 seconds.
.net and get all the essentials you need. All right, the steak and eggs best thing. What is the best thing you saw from this last week of basketball?
K-Love and special sauce.
Ugh.
Special sauce being the rest of the Cavs.
Yeah.
There's a little stat I like called offensive rating. Chuck, you want to guess how many of the top 5 happen to be Cavaliers in the playoffs thus far?
I do not wish to do that. Nope.
Would you like to guess?
What was the question? 5?
How many of the top 5?
5.
5, correct.
How many were Channing Frye?
0.
Actually, 0? Man, shooting 70%
Kevin
from 3.
Love is number 1.
Isn't the same as it used to be.
LeBron James. Well, it's because everyone else was dominant as well. LeBron James, number 2. J.R. Smith, number 3. Kyrie Irving, number 4. Tristan Thompson, number 5. I am clinging to this amazing offensive rating performance in hopes that that means that we'll actually have a good series against the Warriors, Cavs Warriors. But in my heart of hearts, which is thankfully usually wrong, I feel like the Warriors are just going to thrash them.
Is that recency bias or is that?
No, I feel like the Cavs, while not, they haven't come down to earth, but they've shown a weakness.
Some mortality.
And I feel like the weakness plays right into the Warriors.
They showed a weakness, but I think LeBron James expressed it as well as anyone ever could. Talking about the Game 5 against Toronto.
Right.
He said, I've been through some really adverse situations, and I just didn't believe that this was one of them.
Right.
So they weren't concerned.
As we discussed, they probably shouldn't have been, because the only reason they lost those games is they shot themselves out of it and were allowed to shoot themselves out of it, when, in actuality, they've been shooting really well for a long time now.
And they finally let, you know, Kyle and DeRozan get it on while they're up at home.
In the North.
But it all comes down to what we thought would happen, and I think the best team...
With the best player, Kevin Love.
Yeah.
I think it'll all break down. I mean, in the regular season, the Cavs didn't score as many points per game as the Warriors did. And I think that means they have a better offense over there in Golden State.
I don't know. 5 offensive rating. Top
I think
5.
You're talking. I think you're missing a couple things maybe when it comes to the competition they faced and the injuries that the Warriors have had to deal with. And, you know, it's not as simple as just those top 5 players being the best players in the playoffs, because that's obviously not the case. We've seen monster.
Is it that obvious?
We've seen monster performances from Klay Thompson there.
And Kevin Love.
Well, we've also seen Kevin Love not playing the fourth quarter.
So I mean, the question is going to be, can Kevin Love?
The Cavs can win with Kevin Love not playing well.
Well, I'm not
can
sure.
The Warriors win with the Klay
See,
Thompson
I don't.
Not
I don't think.
Well.
I don't think that's true. I don't think the Cavs can beat the Warriors if Kevin Love's not.
I agree.
Bringing
I meant in the past tense.
Yeah. Past tense.
What this last series with Oklahoma City and the Golden State showed me is just the numbers will play out. These guys will hit their strides, and some dude will go off and carry a game by himself when he's not supposed to. And I just believe that the Warriors are fundamentally better.
I don't think the numbers did play out, because the Warriors winning that series to me was almost a miracle. I think they won like 6 quarters the entire series.
It really,
it's like a miracle.
But when they were down, Klay and Steph seemed to not miss from 3. They were like, I think the number's 25 of 42 when they were behind from 3.
From 3.
Both of them.
To paraphrase power listener Damon Rangula.
Yeah.
The Warriors have the best shooter in the world and Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah. Having them both.
They take the most valuable shot in basketball and hit it better than anyone else.
And also
play good defense.
But you know who's hitting it better right now in the playoffs is the Cavs. Mm-hmm. And they're hitting it significantly better.
That's true unless you take in maybe the fourth quarter clutch performances where that's where the Warriors have been hitting all their shots.
You know J.R. Smith going to lay pipe in the fourth.
Oh, I'm excited about what J.R. Smith is going to do.
J.R.
Smith is going to belly up to the bar and be like, I got this. You mean they let Clay and Steph do all this? I'm going to fire it up. My best thing is, well, it's a couple things. I guess I want to keep talking about the Warriors and Clay's 11 threes, but I guess I'll table it briefly. My best thing is Anderson Varejao guaranteeing himself a ring.
Crossed a dude over and took him to the ring.
Oh, he also had a game seven moment where everyone's like, why is Andy Varejao going in the end of the third? And then he had a little run.
That's what I'm referring to. Took a guy from the elbow all the way to the hole with a dribble.
With a crossover. Laid it right in. But so because
we were in a room full of human beings. We were all laughing our little nuts off about Andy Varejao being in. And then all of a sudden, we're just stone silence.
Dumbfounded.
Well, we're all dumb.
Yeah, but he did. But since he's the only player who has ever played on both teams the same season that they met in the finals.
Crazy.
And wow. So he gets a ring no matter who wins.
Think he gets booed in Cleveland?
Are you sure Ish Smith never did this?
No, yeah. Ish Smith, I don't think is...
Ever played a playoff
I don't think
game.
Any of his teams have ever made the playoffs. He just gets passed around between the non-playoff teams. But
he's
yeah.
the PAC no, de resistance of bad
that's,
teams.
That's the fun question, Chuck. He was beloved.
I know.
In Cleveland. And it played his whole career there. Yeah. So now we'll be curious if they do give him any applause or if he just becomes a hated enemy.
Yeah, I doubt it. I doubt they'll boo him. I mean, he's going to get real weird minutes. So the game's going to be kind of...
He shouldn't get many, but...
He shouldn't. And that's what I'm saying. It's if he gets in, there's probably a chance it's during a Warriors blowout. So I don't see him being, you know, specifically welcomed, if that's the case. But I can't... If they boo him, then that's another reason to hate Cleveland. Hey, from my high, I yep. only need more ammo.
What's your steak and eggs, Chuck?
My best, you know, Kevin Durant's a free agent, right?
Yeah.
And I think I'm in love, boys. I think as a Heat lifer.
Oh. Like
I am, he's going to re-sign for one more year with OKC.
Look, man.
That's just business.
Business.
Look, man. I can hope.
Hey, Jack, would you like to make another wager?
No.
Regarding free agent destinations?
Here's... last time, I gambled with my heart, and I learned, John, that day never to do it again.
Hey,
and
we,
I
won't. We got a podcast
I understand
it.
That this is a severe long shot. This is a shot in the dark. But look, if you would have told me in the summer of 2010 that the Big Three, the Miami Heat, would have been put together, I probably would have chuckled, too. I probably would have said, no way, boys. That was not going to happen. That's a pipe dream. And that's all I have now as a Heat fan. This is pipe dream. You guys better let me have it.
That's an important part of being an NBA fan now. It seems to be the, as long as you can sell hope.
That's it.
To your team and to your fan base.
I want to be told,
woe is the Grizzlies fan.
Yes.
Woe is they. Woe is us.
Oh, no, you need to listen to them Fizdale press conferences. Ooh, he'll get you
Coach
hyped.
Fizz. Coach oh, Fizz. My favorite thing about Coach Fizz is he looks like B Real from Cypress Hill.
Hey, he's back in the news. The rage is back and better than ever. They got Chuck D.
Be real.
The other guys who aren't Zach De La Rocca.
Tom Morello.
The Night Watchman. I saw Tom Morello play with Bruce Springsteen, and it was perhaps the most oil and water thing I've ever experienced. And Bruce Springsteen couldn't even figure out how to dance to it, so he ended up looking like Courtney Cox from his own damn video. It was truly horrific. Truly. And Tom Morello insisted on singing on songs. Oh, so wonderful.
All right, so speaking of that, what is your cream of wheat? Worst of week. What's the worst thing you saw in the last week?
Man, the Cavs won again. Makes me sad. You know, I'm a Heat fan. It's hard to watch LeBron kind of take off and do what he's doing. And I'm specifically worried, but not. I believe in the Warriors, but there's a chance. LeBron goes off for five straight games and there's nothing anybody can do. And that's my problem. And that's what's the worst thing happening for me. Kind of upset right now, boys.
I feel like the worst thing of the week, really, Klay Thompson's dad And I'm a wrestling fan.
Right.
Like, I'm wearing a Hulkamania sleeveless
shirt. Yeah, John is wearing a Hulkamania sleeveless shirt right now.
Chose to watch Raw instead of, like, one of the great Game 7s ever. And he's a former world champion.
You don't give him any credit for just being too nervous or not being able to settle down and not being able to enjoy it? Or
no, here's the deal. He's lying. He watched that game.
Okay.
He's a barzillionaire. He doesn't even let Clay have his own money. He has Clay's money. He probably has 62 TVs in his baby dungeon.
Can we fact-check this money
thing? He watched that game.
What's this money thing about? Tell me that story.
Clay gets an allowance from his parents still. He gives them all of his money, and then they dole him out money.
Is that still happening, or was that a thing?
I mean, that was probably 2 years ago.
Maybe after a ring, he got the control.
I don't know, man. That is one emotionless, sociopathic dude. I think he likes it just how he likes it. Mm. Have you seen his release? It's the same every time. I don't think he wants any changes.
Maybe he thinks it's bad luck.
But I don't believe you, Michael Thompson. In fact, I challenge you to a because I watched Raw the very next day. You know I TiVo that.
Why don't you give him a little wrestling promo?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I just want to know who are the three villains who turned on John Cena during that Raw, Memorial Day Raw.
Let's find out.
And if you can get back to us, then maybe I'll believe you.
And if you don't, it proves your guilt.
I want to know if Michael Thompson a lifelong wrestling fan? Like, is this a normal thing? Does he do this most Mondays?
Would have to be.
What I can guarantee you is that he's a lifelong basketball fan, and at least a lifelong basketball fan of games involving his son.
Yeah.
And for that doesn't,
I just don't buy it. Like, we hear these stories all the time. Like, I didn't even watch.
Maybe if it happened during a SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But a Monday Night Raw?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it was a really bad one, too.
My worst of week is, this is a hill I'm going to die on. I'm going to keep beating this dead horse.
Oh, no.
Kevin Durant, two times in this Western Conference Finals, refused to shoot a half-court shot and just let the buzzer run out.
He has really practiced shooting just after the buzzer.
He is a master of waiting.
He can't break the habit.
But were the stakes not great enough? Like, well, what is he waiting for? I mean, he considers shooting percentage to be that important. No one keeps track of shooting percentage in playoff games. Like, no one looks at...
That's not how they even...
These shooting things. Like it doesn't go on your basketball card.
Right.
It's like, I can kind of understand a person doing it in the regular season, but I don't approve of it. I judge a person for doing it, but I understand where they're coming from.
Right.
In the playoffs, when you're an underdog, like, when you're trying to make the finals, when you're trying to set your legacy.
Right.
Here's the thing. Making the finals, much better for your legacy than your three-point percentage being a couple hundredths one way or the other.
Wow.
So
come with a burner, Keith.
Just saying.
Teaching old Kevin Garnett.
Until the NBA changes the horrible...
Kevin Garnett.
Right.
We'll talk whenever you want to talk bad about Kevin Garnett. I'm down to
it. Until the NBA changes this rule to make three-point heaves not count against your shooting percentage, we're going to keep having this, but I was stunned to see it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, you got to let it fly. You got to have that chance that you can make a shot.
Do that, Mike Miller. Let it fly.
Let it fly.
Let it fly. There's nothing to lose. And I agree with you, man. It's a flaw in his software. You know, it doesn't seem to make sense that you wouldn't attempt one thing. No Hail Marys ever.
Right.
You know, and it's not even, you're not going to lose anything. It's at the buzzer.
Yeah. It's not even interceptions. Right. You know, like, it's just a missed shot. It's no big deal. And even with that, even with him watching his 3-point percentage, still shot a worse percentage from three than Russell Westbrook.
Ew.
So there you go.
Man, KD, you could do better, buddy.
You could do better.
But come to Miami.
All right, so let's move on to our scattered, smothered, covered thoughts.
It's a little hard here at this point.
Yeah, well, I want to keep talking about actually
basketball.
This Warriors thing. I want to talk about the game six, the Clay's 11 threes, and then the overall performance. We talked about it earlier. The thing we were talking about, how it seemed to be like they kept throwing rock against paper.
Right.
The Thunder, when they got to these end of games where they were running kind of slow down and then getting 2-point shots, the Warriors, as we said, came through clutch. They shot 13 for 23 on above the break threes in the fourth quarter of the last three games.
Crikey.
So that's 1.86 points per shot.
Mm.
To match that with 2-pointers, if you can do the math, if you have to get 1.86 points from every 2-point shot, you got to hit 93% of your shots.
Got to catch them all.
And that's just kind of a wake-up call for all of us fans of teams that aren't good at three-pointers, like us Grizzlies fans.
And the Heat. And you Heat
us, the Heat, like the Timberwolves, like the teams out there who don't shoot very well. You're like, you can't ever beat this team if they get hot. I saw something that Steph Curry...
They're bringing knives to a gunfight.
Steph Curry is hitting, like this season, he hit 200 pull-up threes, which is more threes than most quote-unquote shooters hit in a season in their lot. You know, like yeah. like Kobe never hit 200 threes in a season, right. And he shot a lot.
And this is just pull-ups.
And those are just Steph's pull-ups. Right. And he's shooting 42% on pull-ups.
Like, mommy, wow.
It's just, yeah.
Will anyone ever
make it go away?
Match the number of Klay Thompson catch and shoot threes he's made this year? I feel like no.
I don't know what the record. Well, I mean, obviously, I think he will. Right. I think there's room to them keep shooting. Like the fact that both of them are so much more improved this year, at least statistically on the numbers and the amount they've shot from the year before.
It looks like he's playing hot potato from 32 feet away from the rim.
That's what I couldn't get over is, and even in the game seven, more of Klay's shots were more reasonable, you right. know, like he started off like he was going to have a John Starks, whatever, like 2-for-18 game seven. He right. missed his first seven, but then after that, he was just knocking them down. And both Klay and Steph broke the record for the most three-pointers made in a series. The Warriors, I think, broke the record for the most 3 points attempted in a series. Do we think as this team stays together, are these records just going to keep falling? Like every playoff series or every seven-game series that they get to?
Yeah. I feel like teams will be forced to adjust. And I think the Thunder even tried to adjust. You had guys like Steven Adams, like a seven-footer, really closing out really well
yeah.
on three-point shooters. And I'm going to miss Steven Adams, by the way, whom I've always hated for the Zach Randolph face push.
Right.
But... I mean, that guy, his effort is unending. I mean, he is truly the Dothraki warrior.
Yeah. He's been awesome.
He's a blood rider.
And I think one of the fun things about that I was trying to point out, like I was pointing out to my wife who has, since the child, won't even, you know.
Touch you anymore?
Well, yeah. Or I'd say, you know, just briefly even indulge me while watching any basketball, you know. Like she used to watch a good bit. But anyway, like I was pointing out her, like watch these Klay Thompson shots. Like let him just catch that and shoot it. Like, I don't know. I don't think there's any defenses you can do for when Klay decides he's going to hit 11 and they're all going to be of the absurd catch and shoot variety with like people draped all over him.
You need like every team will need like a Tony Allen harasser of sorts who just follow, you know, right. gets in the pocket.
Who really gets over. And that's one of the things I think the Thunder struggled with down the stretch. Like we lauded Westbrook for playing very good defense for the first few games of the series. But then there were some lapses where he was gambling and he was leaving the shots open and he was playing.
Yeah, and the likes of Robertson really hurt the Thunder down the stretch as well, offensively.
Well, just offensively. Yeah, and especially once they got down, it's like you can't really have Robertson in the game anymore.
Oh, they were giving they gave him the Tony Allen treatment.
They did.
Left him wide open.
And he did briefly punish him, but I think we saw in that game
airballed a three
in that game seven. He went 2-for-11,
right?
And also the Waiters Island people. I think Waiters over his last three games of the series was 3-for-18 yeah. shooting. So we had some trouble there. Let's talk coaches. This is something that has happened in the NBA. Grizzlies.
I know you want to talk about the Grizzlies one, but
Coach Grizzdale.
You want to start with the D'Antoni?
To me, that is like the most Daryl Morey, here are my genitals move I've ever seen.
Okay.
He's taken a guy that I feel like no one else wants.
More than getting Josh Smith back and Ty Lawson?
This is like the cherry on top. He's like, I'll take D'Antoni.
Right.
Let's get D'Antoni again. I can make magic with anyone. I mean, I think that's a ballsy maneuver.
Do you approve, or do you think it's going to work?
Well... Imagine James Harden in the 7 seconds or less offense.
Yeah, I feel like he's already there.
I think he's going to take like 25% more shots next year.
That might be good.
Yeah, it might be what they need.
Jeremy.
It definitely signifies the end of Dwight Howard, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's already.
It seems like Morey could have just hired D'Antoni purely to make sure Dwight Howard doesn't opt in. Mm-hmm. Like he's worth it. I don't want to pay this guy.
You could get Jeremy Lin back with D'Antoni.
Yeah,
Jeremy Lin's gonna get paid.
Yeah, he can, and you could see a little resurgence of insanity, maybe.
I think one of the things with
it's an exciting move.
I think one of the things with the Rockets is they have surprisingly they don't have good shooters. It seems like they would have good shooters,
right.
You know, like for this all 3-point for the amount of threes they take, they have surprisingly they've been doing it with kind of not truly good shooters. So it seems like maybe I'm curious to see if they can find some. I mean, like Ariza shoots a good percentage. as Harden, you know, with volume, but the other guys, like, they're not
Beverly's
natural.
Just there.
Like Beverly and Brewer, who fell off a cliff this year.
Isn't Harden super happy that he doesn't have to play defense anymore, too?
Yeah.
He's just, like, basically been mailed a pass to
also that...
The potential for disaster is there, though, because I know a lot of people, including myself, really feel like the magician of the Suns 7 seconds or less was really Steve Nash.
Right.
And that D'Antoni's kind of been exposed. So I just think it's a really interesting narrative as opposed to Fizdale to the Grizz, you know, the Grizzdale thing. We don't know anything about him. And there's nothing to say. Like, I'm excited there's a change.
Right.
But the change could be disastrous. It could be boisterous. I just don't know.
He's universally beloved, which is weird.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's like, oh, I love that guy. Like, oh, he's great.
When I asked Chuck about him, because Chuck's a Heat fan, he's a Heat assistant, Chuck just said, he's cool.
Yeah, I've seen him at like halftime interviews, and that's like basically my knowledge of him. I know he works with some of the younger players and kind of saw development with Winslow and Richardson.
I've heard tale that he'll bring in free agents. That would be exciting.
I would say, everything I hear from like, oh, he's cool or what a great guy is like, this guy just, it's very well connected. Probably knows all the best restaurants, best night spots.
Right.
Like, maybe he can get you stuff if you need stuff.
Yeah.
Not in Memphis.
Get some of that. Although I think the two things that I take positive from it is when you listen to him talk, he's very energetic and he gives you like that, oh, that's cool. And I've also seen he has like kind of like the rock tattoo shoulder thing going.
Pacific Island.
Something or another.
Pattern tribal thing.
I feel like
he knows how to do a haka.
As much as I talked about like questioning Jaeger as the intangible leadership qualities. Like, is this a leader of men? Is a question I'd ask several times. Like he's kind of slump shouldered.
Does he have a goatee?
Kind of has like raccoon eyes. Like,
he does have a goatee.
I'm worried about that.
But Fizdale seems like this kind of guy. This guy, like, he is passionate. He wants to like help us improve and he seems cool. And I think he might be able to relate better to NBA veterans. And the fact that everyone talks so well about him.
Yeah. How easily you forget the in-person tears of Dave Jaeger you saw.
Yeah.
How easily you forget.
I also really like, I don't know if you saw this news that broke today or last night, bringing in Nick Van Exel.
What?
Nick Van Exel as an assistant coach. And also they're in talks to hire JB Bickerstaff as an assistant coach. But
how about JB Bickerstaff?
The Grizzlies are going to have one of the coolest collection of
coaches
possible.
Can we get Sam Cassell just for his big balls dance?
I love it.
Ooh, Patrick Ewing.
I mean, Nick Van Exel is one of my all-time favorite NBA players.
Patrick Ewing could figure out Memphis very quickly.
Yep.
He'd get to them script players.
But I think what's good for a franchise like Memphis is to bring a coach from a franchise with so much success.
Right.
You guys have no championships. Well, we have three. We are the, you know, obviously flagship kind of franchise in the league, and you guys are kind of middling, nothing, who cares kind of franchise with no real prospects of winning. So bringing in Fizdale with that sort of pedigree, I think, is good for the Grizzlies.
I also like that he's very focused on development. I think the one thing we will see changed is you will see the young guys play.
The youth movement.
You will see whoever is picked at 17 this year, you will see him play in the season. And I think they'll be so focused on that.
And I think that's a great spot for Fizdale as a Heat fan, seeing an assistant coach go to a head coaching spot. You know, even with Conley not coming back, they can get another decent, if he doesn't come back, they might be able to get another decent player to put next to a Gasol, and you could have a team that fights in the playoffs.
The one final word on the Jaeger thing, I did kind of hear some stuff that perhaps Marc Gasol was also literally done with him. Like,
I'm sure,
you know, like,
right.
Much like Gasol was like, Jeff Green can't be on the team anymore. Mm-hmm. I think he was like, I'm through with Jaeger.
Gasol has sway at this point.
But anything optimistic talking about Fizdale is just total fan conjecture.
Yeah.
Like the last time the Grizzlies hired a universally beloved assistant coach, it was Mark Ivoroni.
Right.
Probably the worst coach in Grizzlies history. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we don't really know anything. All right. Looking ahead to the finals, are there special matchups or what things are we looking to we think are going to define the series?
I think it's going to be an interesting change from last series finals. It's not obviously a much more potent offensive team from Cleveland. Comparatively to last year,
right,
due to their injury status in the finals, but they had They've replaced what it would be two better defensive players with two better offensive players.
Right.
And I'm curious as to how that will play out when we roll the dice and see what the numbers say when the plays occur on the court and the numbers happen on the scoreboard.
It's Warriors-Cavs 2, but you know it's totally new almost. Like
right.
We have the fully loaded teams
on both sides.
I mean, more of the Warriors were there last year, but also they did not play well, and a lot of it was the defense. Right. A lot of it might have been the first time on the big stage.
Choked, you know? And you can see, you know, that maybe creeping into performances with players like Fry and Love, and even Kyrie, who when he played last year was incredible
in the first game,
but had that tragic injury that kind of sunk the Cavs emotionally, but they. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how they defend the pick and roll because the Toronto pick and roll was just destroying Love and Irving. And imagine what the potent offense there with Golden State can do to him. So it'll be interesting to see if Kevin Love plays fourth quarters and, you know, we don't see Dellavedova.
Kevin Love still never lost a playoff game where he played in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Or
never lost in the United States of America.
Yeah. All these, you know, he only lost in Canada, which doesn't really count.
Yeah. I'm with
Kevin
you
Love. Why else MVP?
I think Kevin Love
just
is
despite
it's you. Just going to be hard on Kevin Love in this series because I think that's one thing where it seems like his defense is going to be exposed.
Good
it's
luck
going to be
guarding Draymond.
It's going to be who does he guard? It's going to So those are
line
the matchups.
Of death will have to guard Barnes if he's just a disaster.
Yeah, you right. think, and I think that's what's going to happen. I think one thing in this series, I do think Tristan Thompson like
gonna get more
could
tech.
Have big boards.
He's going to have big rebounds. It's going to be. Tristan Thompson catches a lot of flack for the, like, oh, he gets paid $82 million and all this stuff. But, like, I think in this series you are going to see him earn his money. And also he had incredible leverage last year. So
right.
The money is a little skewed. But I think he's going to have a big series. And I think he needs to have a big series.
Braun said pay the man.
Oh, yeah. When GM Braun points it out. I think there's a lot of things at stake in this finals. One, if the Cavs win, a lot of fans are going to point out that they probably could have won, would have won last year.
Yeah. Sure.
So like it tarnishes the Warriors championship last year, even though it shouldn't.
And probably
like,
locks up that Cavs lineup for the foreseeable future.
And it takes LeBron into a new stratosphere.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he's already the six straight finals for LeBron is just ridiculous already.
Takes him into the Shaqtosphere.
But then if he upsets this team, it becomes like, you know, but then it's not really fair. There's no middle road for the way we look at history based on this series with LeBron.
Right.
Because if he wins, it's like incredible. If he loses to this best team ever, like at that point, we're like, this is perhaps the best team ever. If he loses, everyone's like, oh, LeBron, he's 2-5 in the final. Or
difference between like a Wilt Chamberlain legacy and a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar legacy.
I will say LeBron has averaged, this is his lowest scoring average because he's not playing as much. He's only playing like 38 minutes. So this year in leading the Cavs to the finals, LeBron is averaging 24.6 points, 8.5 rebounds, and 7 assists. And so he's gone now 10 seasons where he's averaged at least that in scoring and 7 rebounds or 5 assists. So this is going to be a game of scones talking about who else has done anything close to this. So I turned back the levels just to 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. So in NBA history, it's going to be which players in a playoff run of 10 games or more have averaged a 25-5. There are only 20 who have ever done it more than once.
Wow.
So LeBron James is one who has now done it 10 times, but the game of scones will be which players...
Before we start, LeBron's also beaving this playoff season. He's 2.2 steals right now.
Right. Killing it.
That's incredible. 2.2 steals a game while you're being that much of an offensive presence? It's terrifying.
It's great. So your task will be to name the 19 other people who have averaged a 25-5 during an extended playoff run. I wanted to be at least 10 games during that to throw out any of the random DeMar DeRozan did it for the, one
the
series.
The Shmush Parker miracle.
Yeah, any miracle games. So these guys, only 20 guys in NBA history have averaged a 25-5 on an extended playoff run. And these are the guys who've done it more than once. So Chuck, since Chuck's been struggling, I'm going to let him go first. I feel like first is a little easy.
Maybe we should give him a mulligan as well.
To maybe throw him out.
How about Michael Jeffrey Jordan?
Michael Jordan has done it 5 times.
Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade has done it twice. Just barely qualifying.
How about Russ Westbrook?
Yes. He's done it four times.
Larry Joe Bird.
Larry Joe Bird is the only one close to LeBron's 10. He's done it six times.
Wow. How
about the God Magic Johnson?
Magic Johnson, absolutely. Done it three times.
Zeke.
Isaiah Thomas, never done it.
What?
I assume Isaiah Thomas. Or he hasn't done it twice. But hasn't done it twice.
I'm stunned.
I feel like probably the rebounds were the limiting factor there. But
oh, yeah.
All right, so one strike for John.
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant, yes, five times.
So we're going 20 points.
25 and 5.
5 boards, 5 assists. Joe Dumars.
Never done it.
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant, no. Not assists. So that's two strikes for John, one for Chuck. We got some all-time greats throwing out there. Some older guys.
Okay.
Also Oscar Robertson. Oscar Robertson, yes.
Charles Barkley.
Barkley never did it.
Wow.
So that's two strikes apiece.
Kind of stupefied.
Maybe he only had like that one rule.
He could have had the one. I don't know. Yeah.
Jerry West.
Jerry West, yes. Chuck, can you maintain?
Elgin Baylor.
Elgin Baylor, no.
Wow.
Not sure he passed enough. That's three for Chuck. John, can you get one for the win?
One for the win.
One for the win.
Let's go with... I'm going to do Julius Erving.
That is not right. Oh. All right. So now we're going to go back and forth. I'm going to say the next one who gets one right wins.
Okay.
So Chuck, you have the advantage.
How about James Worthy?
No.
Okay. So not James Worthy. Let's take it way back. Let's get weird with it. Let's go with who is the other guard on that Robertson team? Bob, oh God, I can't remember his name, so I can't use him, so I won't use him. I'll just go ahead and bow out of this with Clyde Drexler.
Clyde Drexler is correct.
Clyde
Drexler is correct. Did it four times.
No, it's a guy you'd never expect to be on the...
I was going
to
go Scottie Pippen.
Scottie Pippen is also correct. The ones we left out, John Havlicek.
Oh, hi.
Walt Frazier.
Yeah.
Wow.
Rick Barry. Mm-hmm. Vince Carter.
What?
Two times with the Nets. Wilt Chamberlain. Your boy, perhaps you've heard of him, Steph Curry. How
I was thinking of Bob Dandridge.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Hal Greer.
Is he on there?
No.
Damn.
Hal Greer, Gary Payton, Bill Russell.
Hal Greer? We could have been guessing for 500 years.
Hal Greer being the one, I'll be real with you. Don't know who that is. Yeah. All right, so that
I
was...
like he's a Laker, but I don't
so
know.
So that was a game of scones. Once again, Chuck's streak has continued.
Sorry, buddy.
Maybe I'm just tanking.
You always have Durant.
I'm tanking for more lottery balls.
With that first spot.
Yeah, you got to get them lottery balls. All right, that brings us to the awards segment of this show. We did not forget it, although it is a anticlimactic with the finals coming. There aren't that many games, but we do have three people. I feel bad assigning blame on these, but someone has got to receive it.
Absolutely.
In game 6 of the Western Conference Finals, Kevin Durant, 10 for 31. He did net 29 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. That's a good game.
Chucker.
10 for 31, Chucker. Where did you go, Robertson? 2 for 11, 4 points, however, 12 rebounds, 1 block. I feel like he just waded into deeper water than he was ready for.
Right. I feel like we have to asterisk these.
Yeah, yeah.
These playoff ones because it's not really deserving.
They're not deserving. I can't remember what we did last year if we forced him on them or not.
Because I don't like it because we read out the lists.
Yep. And then we have Russ Westbrook in game 7. Seven for 21. But also, he played a heck of a game.
I'm abstaining.
19 points, 13 assists, 7 rebounds.
For the first time in my life, I'm practicing abstinence. Willfully.
Willful.
Yeah. I think this is like a, you know, when you watch, you don't want to have a, you know, stuffed animal head on your wall that you've watched the animal been killed. And that's what this is. This iShop is our mounted buffalo that we've put up on our wall. But we watched these guys get gutted and it made us sad. And I think that's why this iShop we should gleefully abstain 2 weeks in a row and see if anyone notices.
All right. Well, I'm going.
I don't think they will.
All right. So you guys are both abstaining. So I'm gonna just
in your hands.
I'm just gonna give it to Dwayne Wade.
There you go.
Just for Chuck.
No, thank I'm you.
So I think that's fine. I don't think we need one. I mean, these guys
don't seem deserving.
Yeah. None of these guys really. I mean, Robertson's the only guy. I mean, two for who had like a not good game, but he had a bunch of offensive rebounds. Yeah. So like he played fine. So I'm fine with it.
Man, 2 weeks in a row without an eye shop. What are we going to do, guys?
Although, for real.
Twitter's going to whisper about it.
Twitter is going to quietly DM to not us.
You guys ready for the Woj bomb about not having an eye shop 2 in a row?
Yeah. All right. So, par fadeaway. What are we looking forward to in the NBA Finals? Duh. What's coming up?
I want to see that pick and roll from the Dubs put in work and destroy the lineup with Kyrie and Love.
Kyrie's not going to enjoy that.
It's going to be an ugly little game. But we saw last year in the first
best
game.
The pick and roll versus the all-time worst.
Yeah.
Pick and roll D.
Kyrie played decent defense in the first game last year. It kind of was a surprising amount of defensive prowess. It was almost like, were you saving this?
Yeah.
So he may have another gear that he's been waiting for the playoffs for.
Here's the thing, though, Chuck.
Or the finals.
If anyone shouldn't use that extra gear, it's Kyrie because he's going to get hurt.
Because that's probably why I heard
this man coasts all the time. Anytime it gets real, like it
starts to.
Can we bet on that? What are the odds that Kyrie Irving misses a game from injury?
Let me do some digging and get back to you.
You probably have a line. We'll throw up on Twitter.
Although that's one thing I was looking forward to is there is a line on will Draymond kick someone in the balls?
Ooh,
that you can bet on this 12-1.
That's crazy. Wow. That's crazy.
I don't think I'd do it.
I wouldn't either.
I think he's going to do it.
Who you think the target will be? You think it'll be Love?
I think it'll be Dellavedova.
Maybe they bring
no one will even care if that happens.
Here's the thing. So Draymond Green apparently has a free pass to do whatever he wants at this point. I think we've decided. I actually was surprised that the NBA, after game 7 against the Thunder, didn't upgrade that DDT that he did on Steven Adams.
Wow, how did we not talk about this? I'm so ashamed.
We were talking about, yeah.
I'm so ashamed.
It was one of the dirtiest
Michael
moves
Thompson
I've ever seen.
Would have been watching wrestling either way.
Yeah. So I'm actually surprised the NBA didn't upgrade that to a flagrant foul and suspend him for game 1 just to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Literally, I feel like this Draymond not being suspended when he's spiking the ball or he's bouncing the ball in the air and he's air punching at the refs and then he's also seemingly trying to hurt people, I have to say, I really like Draymond Green. He's become the enemy, and it seems like the world has slowly turned against the Warriors. I'm all on this Warriors bandwagon. I love it. They're my favorite team, but
I don't like Draymond.
I'm surprised. Again, I almost feel like the NBA, I'm surprised they didn't go ahead and suspend him, because then the points would reset, and it wouldn't be... Because what we don't want as fans and as the NBA, I don't want it to be game 4, and it's 2-2, and then Draymond Green to step on someone's nuts, mm-hmm. and then get suspended for game 5. That's a much bigger deal. I'd rather go ahead and get him suspended, get it out of the way.
Well, we have the only game that it matters is if he got suspended for a game 7.
He's going to power bomb or pile drive someone next.
So if he can get to, if I was him, I would do it. I would have him. I would just go, hey, we got to have you for game 7.
I would have called Mr. Silver and been like, Adam, come just on, go buddy. And suspend just, me for that one, because I want to have a clean slate, yeah. so I can be throwing my elbows around like I need to.
Maybe he can do some sort of preemptive plea bargain deal where he goes, look, I'll just take the first half of game 1. We start this over from scratch. I know I'm about to get one. Let me just take
if
this
I'm,
half.
I think you just put if, a cage around
like,
the arena.
If I'm 6'1", Dellavedova, I am anytime he chests the ball, goes into some kind of, or put the ball over his head and his elbows are out, I'm just straddling his hip so he pivots into my head.
Yeah.
Because I'm the perfect height to get elbowed in the face.
I'm just going to do that until I get
knocked out.
That seems to be dope.
They're
going to
put James Jones out there
plan.
just to take a pile driver.
Yeah, shout out James Jones. 6 finals in a row.
Six finals in a row. Is he going to put? Last year he played. Last year he played 100 minutes.
He will not play this year.
He's not getting any tick. Oh, who do you guys think? That's my question.
Oh.
The Mozgov. Do you think he gets any tickets? He hasn't played really at all.
No. Not in this series.
But I don't know. It's that size. I mean, if you look at the Thunder with their big lineup and how that kind of gave. Them. But you look at Mozgov and Thompson are kind of defensive.
If Channing Fry is hitting 70% of his threes.
They have to play
in
the
Thompson.
Fry, the Love Fry game.
Yeah. So I'd like to see Mozgov.
We're going
to
see an unbelievable amount of three-pointers being shot this series, boys.
And both of those teams are decent top 10 in defensive three-point percentages. So it'll be interesting to see which one is going to figure out the other one's game plan. And I think when you're going to have to go.
I think the Warriors are going to be shocked how open they are.
Yeah.
Compared to what they just came through.
Right. Yeah.
compared to the limbs. Because,
yeah, you're not going to have Tristan Thompson closing out like Steven Adams was.
Although Tristan Thompson, honestly, is a really good pick and roll. That was one thing he was doing great last year, was guarding the three-point percentage.
But Love and Kyrie aren't going to... Yeah, they're not going to close out. I mean, Kyrie's definitely not Russell Westbrook.
He's going to get torn up on penetration.
And, you know, Steph could potentially bother Kyrie enough to make him kind of a less than superstar player.
Steph should have a free pass to the rim,
right? So
you would think,
yeah.
And I do, and it seems like he's gotten his
mojo back.
I strongly believe this has been a talking point among a lot of people. I strongly believe Steph could not beat guys off the dribble. Early in the series, you know, yes, Ibaka and Adams get some credit, but the fact that Steph couldn't get a shot up over them, like a step back three, it seemed to me obvious that he couldn't get to the rim. But then you saw the rust start to fall off in game six, and then I felt like it was symbolic when he hit that floater over Ibaka, kind of like that was the first time I took a guy to the rim. And then you saw in game seven, he hit all his threes were unfortunately over the big men. They were all over Ibaka, all over Adams. So do we want to predict it, or is that just dumb?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, we should give our...
We're always wrong, so...
Yeah. There you go, gamblers of the world.
I want to... It's either going to go seven or go five, but I don't know.
You don't think
and
six?
I got Warriors.
Dubs and six.
I got Warriors doing it at home. No, it's game five on...
It's at 2-2, home. 1-1-1.
Yeah. So it's either five or seven. I could see it going either way. I think we'll reconvene after the first game and see if Kevin Love and Kyrie have any hope to stop the Warriors pick and roll.
So going to be rabbling.
Yeah.
That is. And that's another thing we're looking forward to. We are rabbling game one, and also we think game three. We will confirm that, but I'm pretty sure we're definitely rabbling game one, so go to rabble.tv.
And then check us out on social media to follow us for game three if we decide to do it.
You say five or seven. John says Warriors in six.
Yeah.
I say Warriors in six as well. Winning it. I feel like that's the standard. That's probably the most popular pick.
Yeah, ESPN pick.
Oh, that's us.
Yeah.
All right, so thanks for listening. Check us out on those rabbles. Feel free to do a game two, somebody. We're not covering that one. But we don't trust ESPN to give us the right broadcast teams. So you can listen to us on the Rabble app or in the browser at rabble.tv. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at FastBreakBreak. Write us an iTunes or a Stitcher review, and you will be entered to win a Fan Essentials box. We will give out two of those next week for the people who've been writing those reviews. Thanks for listening. You guys are the best. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.